Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio, opening up the dance scene on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Hamilton, back with you again this week to talk about all things dance. Now, if you are in your car, if you're in your kitchen, whatever it is that you're doing right now, you are going to get an opportunity. You're going to get a treat this morning because we're going to be talking about all things house. So get your dance shoes on, get your clothes, whatever favorite garment you've got on, throw it on, because coming up in this hour, Raoul Wilk, Bridget Deer, and Augustus are all in the house. Stay tuned, stay locked in right here on CIUT 89.5 FM.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Hamilton. This morning, we're talking about all things house. And listen, I know that many of you have been requesting this, and this is why I'm so excited this morning to bring to the table Raoul Wilk, who is a club head and educator, is joining us this morning. Welcome to the show, Raoul. Great to have you here.
Hello, hello. How you doing, everybody?
Great to have you here with us, Raoul, and also Augustus. Augustus is in the house. Welcome to the show, Augustus.
Hello.
Great to see you. Great to have you on the show. And for those of you who are just tuning in, listen, I get to see them this morning as well because we're all attached together on screen right now doing our interview live. Coming up next to the table is Bridget Deer. Bridget is in the house as well. Welcome to Turnout Radio, Bridget.
Hi guys.
So good to see you.
Good to see you too, Nicole. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Let's talk house, because let me tell you something. When we, when this idea first came together, we sat down at the production table and we said, okay, we've got to talk about house. So who do we call? And we had to reach out to Raoul Wilk. And Raoul is the one that brought us all together today. So thank you for that, Raoul.
No problem. No problem.
It's so great to know that we've got access to you and that you were able to bring us all together. So one of the things that, you know, we were talking about as we were preparing for today's interview is the culture, the history, the culture, the music. So let's talk. I think one of the first questions that individuals had for us on today's show is, what exactly is house? So let's start with you, Augustus. Let's throw to you. Talk to us. How do you define house? What is house dance?
Health is eclectic. You know, its origin forms originally forms from disco, from like the late 70s, and you know you hear that, especially that, like that hi-hat, that 4-beat kind of, and you know, and things evolved from there, like a lot of other genres of music. But this is an eclection, like it's a that mix of that disco beat evolve into, like when you listen to somebody like African Bambaataa, and the DJs, of course, and you got to thank the DJs for playing this, and a little bit of that new wave coming in too, and electronica, and you know, and it just evolves even more to the more, you know, like you get like the Frankie Knuckles, you know, just the name is who, like Steve Silk Hurley, for example, things such as that, like, you know, that's just like a little bit, you know, Robert Owens, all these legendary people, these DJs, these producers, you know, and adding soul to it. It could be the instruments involved, definitely is the voice. So I guess if you want to look back at somebody like Sylvester, for example, his songs, especially stemming from the late 70s, early 80s, you hear that. That is like part of some of his origins of house music. His stuff has actually been redone by other artists, coincidentally enough. So it's evolved to so many branches of music, of dance music. As I mentioned, like electronica music, to like progressive house. It's like to soulful house. It just goes on and on and on. It's just, you know, like I guess when that term of house is a feeling, that it is. It makes you feel so much. It makes you want to move. It makes you want to dance for sure. And that's what disco did. So,
and that's what disco did. So music really does inform house. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it almost dictates to you what you need to do. It just triggers you, right? I can't explain it. It just makes you want to move.
Right. Right.
That's what disco did. That's what house does. The branches, it's relatives of that. It makes you want to move, right? And, you know, I can't, you know, like this is the dancer aspect.
So then,
me, right?
Then how do we define then when we think about the movement now? Because we had a listener who said, you know, when I look at house and I look at the movement, I look at the definition of the footwork, I look at all of those things. What defines the actual, what is the terminology behind house? What is the cultural aesthetic in terms of the movement when it comes to house? And the reason why this individual had asked this listener is because they're coming from a ballet perspective where they have, for example, a syllabus that they would work with. And so they really want to understand the birthplace, but also the movement itself. So Raul, let's go to you. What, when you think about the actual movement of house, can you also add to what Augustus has shared with us with regards to what stipulates and what defines house and the dance therein?
Yeah, so basically, as he was saying too, within the disco era, what was happening was there was a guy named Steve Dow who created this whole disco frenzy where he was burning records because they were basically doing it against black and queer folk. They weren't really accepting of them, so they were burning records. And what had happened was the dance had went more underground in the sense of the music, and then they started opening up more clubs that were underground and catered. And the DJ at the time who was playing in Chicago was Frankie Knuckles, who was from New York City, learning under Larry Devon. He basically was playing short records and continued them, and sometimes he played them in the middle, so it'd be the hypest of the records. So basically, that stemmed into where we are now. And it was basically for movement-wise, I'll speak in terms of movement now, for movement-wise, it was just bodies moving. The way your body naturally to react to movement, that's what was happening. And you have different bodies, different ways of moving, and different movements stemming from the disco era, adding on to that. So a lot of different bodies, a lot of different cultures, a lot of people sharing under the same umbrella, basically creating a language on spot. And so now into today's thing where we look at movement, we have created different instances or different sentences in terms of the vocabulary. So like the pas de bray, the chase, in which people had coined based off their body. So like the step itself, the loose leg, was coined after a guy named Loose Leaf from New York named Khalif Sellers. He was called Loose Leaf based on the way he would do the step. So they would name him that, and then people would try to replicate it. And basically, it's like a language. The more we learn to speak, the more we have something to say. So that's in turn how movement was created. But it was just basically bodies reacting to music, and everybody just moved. Like you could watch early documentaries where the dancers were like, yo, we just moved. We didn't think what the music was doing. We were just allowing it to happen. So that's kind of what happens in turn of the music.
Love it. Love it. And for those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Hamilton, kind of sitting a little bit happy this morning because I'm sitting down talking about all things house with Augustus Raul, and Bridget is here in the house as well. Bridget, let's talk, because I love what Augustus and Raul have shared with us so far with regards to the culture and the birthing of house. What I'm curious to know from you is how has dance evolved in the house community? Can you share with regards to that?
Well, like I said earlier, I started out dancing to, well, it's now called classic house music, but back then it was just house music. So, you know, the tempo was a lot different. It was a lot slower. And as house music evolved over the years, you know, into Afro, it just got in soulful house, it just, the tempo just got faster. Therefore, dance steps got faster. And I just learned to, you know, just honestly just grow with the music. And being in the clubs and dancing to the music, it's free, like Raul said, it's freeing. You know, house music is, to me, is it's influenced by like Latin dance, Afro dance, even hip hop now, and even B-boys are getting into it now, you know. People, I love to see that these younger kids have such a passion for house music, because it's just infused, you know, and it's become so contemporary now. Honestly, I haven't stopped dancing to house music. I haven't stopped.
Well, that's a good thing, because we need you. We need you in the community.
could I add on what she said?
Please do.
Yeah. So in terms of where house is right now, a lot of us younger generation, obviously, we watched our elders like Bridget and Augustus, and we always idolized them, and everything was based off video. But the energy we felt as being a younger generation and trying to replicate what the elders did, but also trying to earn respect, is what made the house dance just more elevated in terms of competition, because everybody wanted to be an elder. Everybody wanted to have that same respect. So I find that the dance had changed when the newer generation came and they wanted to evolve it, where they could come to the club and an OG could look at them and be like, okay, that's a replication of us, but they want to take it one step further because they have younger bodies. Whereas the elders were kind of growing through the birth of what house was, which is even better because it was engraved in their bodies, whereas us was harder because we were watching something secondhand. So our energy was different, but for us to earn that respect, we had to put more into it. So tricking, a little bit of the capoeira influence, the breaking, as she said, our different styles and our different, just basically us being versatile as youth and wanting to replicate and get the respect of our elders is what kind of elevated the dance. And then the sound kind of matched the dance, because the footwork kind of got more intricate, more percussive, more polyrhythmic, more syncopated. Whereas the elders, they had the source where we were like, yo, we still, no matter how much we changed the dance, we still couldn't look like them. So we had to go to the club and just be with them and still have that respect for our elders. But basically, that's how the dance had elevated.
And that's so good too, because, you know, one of the things that we spoke about in a previous show, we sat down with Jason Samuel Smith, wonderful tap dancer, and he spoke about elders in particular and the fact that we need to respect them. We need to go to them as a source. We need to ensure that we are talking to them, saying their names while they're here. And so in that light, when you share about elders, Raul, what do you think is important for young people that are coming up in house to know right now with regards to a house in particular, celebrating and preserving the culture? If you can share on that, and then if we can then also, I'd love to hear your opinions as well, Augustus. Let's start with you, Raul.
Yeah, so basically in tune of us looking up to elders and preserving their names, basically I didn't even understand about that, because when I came up in house, all I had seen was the battles, the energetic style, everybody winning and getting the respect, people getting jobs out of dance. And I was like, wow, I can get jobs out of doing footwork? That's crazy. And so I did that for at least 7 years of my life. And I was thinking, okay, it's got me to this point where I've got respect around the world. It was until I went to the club and I felt the underground scene where I was like, man, I got to restart. I thought I was getting up there. And then I just seen some older cat, just some uncle. It could be anybody's uncle. And he was just doing the lightest two-step. And I was like, that's the greatest I've ever seen the dance look. Because again, it's engraved in their bodies. So if our younger generation don't get to see our elders or don't get to be in that presence or that same conversation, that same language in terms of the vocabulary of movement, where it's not defined by us moving so fast where we have to try and win and earn respect, where we earn respect and speaking with the elders in the club is when we truly learn. So for me, it's very important to be around your elders, to be in that same conversation. That's why me and Kevin, we get down all the time. We get busy all the time. Me and Augusta, sorry, I'm going to use his stage name. We get down all the time. Every time I see him in the club, we're just bugging out. So for me, that's when my dance truly grew, is because it made me realize that dance is more powerful than just what I had, you know, learned over those years, the many things to say. I learned that the simplest things I said was more powerful.
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
Please do.
I think too, Raul, like just the fact that you're mentioning Sabine Blazin, and yeah, like she's an elderly too. And you know, it just sounds like to me you're growing up with the music and you are listening to the music when you're dancing. Because that's that's the difference. I see a lot of the youngsters, I love that they're passionate about house music. But many times when they're dancing, I notice they're not really listening to the music. I mean, their dance moves are awesome. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. I love watching them. It's just so inspiring. But that, I would say, would be the difference to the music. Like, we come from this, you know, like Augusta was saying, you were saying, Frankie Knuckles and all these amazing, you know, DJs and producers from the past, like the classic house music, it was like disco, right? So we were always singing too, just singing while we're dancing, because it was all vocals, right? So I think the younger generation needs to really just get to know the music and feel the music. It's, you know, it's all about improv, you know, when you're dancing.
Right, and do you feel the same way, Augustus?
Big time. I so agree. It is. It's something where it's like in any genre, I guess, of music. It could be country. It could be disco. Whatever it is. It's something where it has to move you. And I would say this to the person who's a ballet dancer. Who was talking about how do you move to this? How do you dance to it? It's like, how do you define it? I would simplify simply as this. With especially the ballet background, I would say don't even worry about it. I would strictly just say, feel the music. I don't care if you put ballet to house music, right? Because if you're a ballet dancer, you have that one up already. You have the training already. And I was, you know, don't be afraid to break the mold, because street dance, which is such a big umbrella, whether it's b-boy / break dancing to house music dancing to whacking, voguing, whatever it is, there are no rules. There are zero rules to it. It's more of feeling the music and translating that onto the dance floor. It's that simple. And if more people, whether it's an elder generation or a younger generation, if you apply that thought, and I would say treat it like as if you're walking. So when you walk and you take your right foot and take a step forward, automatically your left arm is going to follow. That's how free dances, as I call it, should be. You treat it as though you're walking. You feel it. You just go for it. You don't really think about it. And that's how you're going to feel the music. And I would hope people would just apply that. And to a younger generation, I see a lot in the clubs where people will just do routines and work on it, which is great because practice is perfect. But I strongly advise be expressive towards yourself and what I call the style. The style is freestyling. The style is what you bring out of it. Put your personality in it. So therefore, just feel it. See what you do on your own. Forget the routine, do it on your own. That's when you actually become this, you know, that's when you really got set to appreciate the music itself, to any genre of music, to be quite frank. So that's my thing I will add to that. And
Yeah, that's really good. You know what? As you're talking, one of the things that I'm thinking about is the whole idea and thought process that goes into freestyling. Because there have been so many students that I've worked with over the years that have said that has been their biggest challenge, what that looks like to get out on stage or on the floor and begin to cultivate something that you can call your own, cultivate movement and really just throw down something that is completely unique and yours. So how do you freestyle? You know, that's that right there is another question, right? Let's break that down. How do you actually freestyle? Any thoughts on that, if any one of you?
You know, you just listen to the music and you just let the music move you. You know, it's honestly, I love every genre of music, but house music moves me. And it's all about the beat and, you know, but house music does come from, like, again, stems from like Latin, you know, or the dance or martial arts, hip hop, like I said, It's a fusion of things. So you just got to let the music move you.
So whatever comes out of that place.
Let's go to the beat. Go to the beat.
Right. Right. Because, you know, I remember when I was a young girl and it was time for me to start freestyling and stepping into that place of just beginning something new and allowing the creation process to happen right there on the floor was a challenge for me. I remember being, you know, a young girl at 11 in dance class and thinking, how do I do that? Because at that time, anything that was taught to us, we were retrieving it and then we were repeating it. So it was already choreographed for us. So the idea of actually stepping into a place where the creation process is happening right there, that's the hard part. So you say, listen to the music, Bridget. Just listen to the music, right?
I'm going to add on to that.
Please.
But basically, in terms of for my generation too, a lot of us get lost is because we try to formulate ideas where we could create movement, but movements is already, it exists once music exists, right? We should naturally be able to move once we hear music. Now, for me, the best way, and this is how I'm learning moving forward, is to just follow your uncles, follow your aunts, follow your, all the elders have already, you know, have built this vocabulary where it's so easy for us to understand. And everything they built it off was just naturally moving, how well they understood their body. Just a roll in the shoulder was movement. The hands, the way they spoke with their hands. A lot of us younger youth, we tend to focus on labeling so much, like, how do I freestyle? How do I freestyle? Where we're not thinking about how does the music move us? How does the music make us feel? So if we dig back into the music and let it, you know, let it speak for us too, in a sense where it's just not background sound. It is a part of us. It is a part, it's in my body and it defines what I'm going to do next. So movement is already engraved just by how you listen to music, but you have to love the music in order to move. I've been to clubs where somebody was on their knees one time and just doing this. And it was the most powerful experience I ever seen because that was pure. That was real. That was movement. That was something that wasn't taught to them or something they had to define. It was something they felt. So feeling leads and then movement will be created from then on.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. I feel like there's this consistent theme that's coming from all of you. It's about the music, and Bridget said it as well. I'm hearing that Augustus, Raul, I'm hearing that it's about listening to the music. So the movement is already there. Listen to the music. It's coming from that place, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Y'all are just educating
honestly,
us.
Like, who doesn't like disco, right? Disco just make you kind of move, right? It makes you pop your head. So
yeah,
it stems from that. It's just a happy music. It's happy music.
Mm-hmm.
Dance in the house music's therapy. It's like, it's very therapeutic.
And on that note, we got to listen to some therapy right now.
Let's go.
Let's listen to some therapy. We've got some music coming up for you right now. This is Reasons. We're going to take a break and then come back a little bit later in the show. Stay tuned right here with us because we've got the gadget segment that's going to be coming up later. But right now, we're going to take a break and go to Reasons by Koflo and Lady C right now on Turnout Radio. Back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Hamilton. We are talking about all things house this morning on the show. And of course, still with me is Raul, Bridget, and Augustus still in the house with me. Let's go because we've got so much more to talk about, but let's do a little bit of a diversion. Let's go back. let's go back to Baby Bridget and talk to Baby Bridget. Because Bridget, one of the things that we want to know is, where did this all begin for you? You know, when we think about as well the club and what the culture in the club means as well for house dance, can you share what those beginnings look like for you and help us to relive some of those first experiences with you now?
Sure. It's actually kind of funny because I tell people when I was 15 years old, I would sneak out of my house for house. Literally get in trouble, just be up all at night. My mom did not understand it. Why does this club open at 12 o'clock? You know what I mean? I was 15, 16, running out of my house to catch the all-night bus to go down to the Twilight Zone. I don't know if you guys heard of the Twilight Zone. This was a club that was on Richmond West. 1981 to 1989. I feel really old now. And I have to give respects to the Assoon brothers. Tony Assoon, Michael Assoon, Albert Assoon, and David Assoon. Forgive me if I've forgotten anyone else, but I know these brothers worked hard. They're the first guys who actually had the first house club in Toronto. And it stems off of, I think they're trying to mimic like Paradise Garage. They're trying to mimic sound system in New York, Manhattan. And they did a good job. And it was a very diverse club. I would go out and there was no liquor there. So it was great. Like I was on juice box. Anyways, it was awesome. The dancers there was every nationality you could think of. You know, white, black, gay, but it did come from a predominantly gay community. And then it just, you know, became very diverse. So that's where I started going to Twilight Zone. And then the Twilight Zone closed 89. And there was a bit of a hiatus. But I didn't mention in my bio that I do have three kids. So I was busy raising kids, but did not stop me from going out in between. Going dancing, it was therapy. Like I said, it was great to go and just leave all your problems behind. Just honestly, just leave it all on the dance floor, and you meet up with people, and you dance, you vibe with people, you get inspired by the young and the old. So it's great. I've had the opportunity to hear amazing producers and DJs that were brought to Toronto, like we said, Frankie Knuckles, Dave Morales, Louis Vega. There's so many, Alton Miller, there's so many to name. And, you know, before house music became a real culture here, because it took a while to become a real culture. We have house music here. We have more club heads here. I would travel a lot, my sister and I, and we would go to a lot of outdoor festivals. I love being outdoors and listening to house music in the sunshine. So we would go to Miami. There's a party called WMC, and we would go to New York a lot. We would go to Atlanta, Chicago. We would just travel because it was such, the house music was so much of a culture there. And like, even what Raul was saying, he saw people just feeling the music and getting to the spirit of it, because house music is a body thing. It is a spiritual thing, and it's more, it was more in the States, or, you know, as opposed to Toronto. But Toronto, I love our little community, our house community. And I actually love that Raul is so in love with the elders, because I never really knew that the young, you know, the younger generation, you know, really paid attention. You know, I know a lot of them, I think a lot of them might have felt intimidated. That's where the cliqueiness might come in. It's not that they're really cliquey, they just didn't know how to approach the elders, because we're, you know, our dance style is a little different, but believe me, we're both learning from each other. And I would like deliberately go over to like young girls and I would be like, oh my God, I love that move you're busting, girl, show me. And, you know, and then they would see that, hey, we're just older, but we enjoy dancing too. Like, right. So I love that, Raul, and I'm inspired. So Raul, if you need, you know, I'm here for you, bro.
That's what it's all about, right?
I'm here for you, bro. Yes.
Raul's been referring to you both as the OGs. both you and Augustus, and we got to hear from you too, Augustus, you know, when it comes to where it all started for you. Wow. Let's talk to baby Augustus. Talk to us.
Hello, everyone. So basically, I'm born and raised in Montreal, Quebec. That's my birth home province and city. And ironically enough, I actually used to hate house music. I couldn't stand it. And yeah.
What?
Yeah. And my brother, he's 2 years older, so he would be the one to kind of bring me out to the clubs. And I'd be like, uh-huh. And I was into my pop music, my new jack swing, and that was my jam. And then it was only until like I would hear tunes when the DJs would shift genres of music, and it's like, okay, the rap rap is done. Okay, we're gonna put on some new jack swing. Okay, this is done. We're gonna put on some house. And I'm like, ah. And it was only until I would hear like stuff from these two DJs from New York, Masters at Work, you know Kenny Dope Gonzalez and Louis Vega, and hearing their stuff, these heavy beats, and they would add these vocals, like these amazing vocalists, right? Like Barbara Tucker and Donnell Rush. And that would move me. And I was like, what the heck is this? This is awesome. And I would just cut loose like there's no tomorrow. Like it was the last day of my life and I'm going to drop dead happy. And, you know, and you hear that beat, that dun, 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 you know, and you feel that beat and dun, dun, then you hear the vocals, dun, 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 dun. Like stuff like that, and you're like, oh, and people would lose their minds. And the more as time goes on, especially being a dancer, because that is my background in dance, which is actually jazz, self-taught, which is jazz, and I still do the dance profession and choreograph. I would add that to, you know, house music, and the more and more I would listen to it, the more the maturity kicked in, and the more I started appreciating it more. And it came from more of an appreciation to like, I'm loving this. It was like, this is like one of my best, this is like one of the genre, the best things I love about it. And it actually helped a lot more with my dancing, ironically enough. And it actually taught me, it's like, I can be free. I can put any style of dance into this. I can add my salsa dance because I do salsa dance, and like I can add so many elements because everything's all connected. This eclectic thing that we call house music, it's the same thing in dance, and there's no limits. So it's because of that, and then meeting with other dancers. And when I moved to Ontario/Toronto to study at Ryerson Theater School, and I would try to meet up with other dancers, but I realized during that time, this is where like I would see, it would be a little bit more cliquish, right? Like, so it'd be like, okay, here's this stranger coming into our circle. And I started to realize people were taking it the kind of like the wrong way. And I realized fast forwarding as time went on, it's like, especially people like the love to battle, to each their own. You know, but for me, it's just like, okay, this is not You Got Served Part 10, right? Like this is, it should be something a little bit more open. And, you know, so running into, running into Raul, and it's such a welcoming thing, helps put me at ease. So, you know, like meeting him and seeing him, and for him, it's like, hey, man, like, I love what you're doing. It's like, dude, man, I love what you're doing. And that I love more, right? And I wish there was a little bit more of an open-mindedness to this. And I don't think this is a generation thing. I find for myself, from my experience, it's just one of those things where I just think people kind of stick to the – it's kind of like you have a group of strangers at a bar and somebody comes in the middle. That is awkward, but I think with the dance, it's almost the same attitude I find. So it's kind of like, no, I'm not here to dance. I'm not here to intervene. I just want to dance, and you know what I mean? And I found that, but with people like Raul, like, it's like, no, man, it's cool. You know, it's like it sets at ease. And thank you, Raul, you know, and then you see such warm people such as Bridget, you know. It's just so every day, every time seeing her at the club, it's like, oh, and it's a hug. And it's just like, you know, like, thank you. And it's this warmth. And, you know, and I find for myself, I speak for myself, it really is such a great thing. Especially I find when you come from not, you know, I'm a Quebecer, right? So coming in and through all these years, you start to meet some people. It's such a nice warming thing. You know, and seeing that invitingness is like, nope, everybody's welcome type of thing. And I find people, when it comes to house music, like disco back in the days, you know, it's like, it's this open and free thing. And the music makes it open to everyone. The people is what does it. The DJs do that. Because without the underground DJs, there wouldn't be house music. There wouldn't be much of a disco. It's this thing where it opens up for the people who feel disenfranchised, you know, or a society's not accepting you. And you see that, and disco did that. It did that for, you know, the LGBTQ like community. It gave this sense of security. It gives a sense of security to that disco does that, house does that. It gives a sense of security for people like myself who come from another place and is like, oh, cool. You're okay with me just hanging out with you just on the dance floor. You know what I mean? It's that's house music. It's that feeling. It's that love. It's that warmth. It's that appreciation. And I think that's what separates house music / disco too from the rest is, you know what I mean? And I love everything else. I love my rock. I love it. I love my, well, pops too, general, because that's everything. You know what I mean? I love my R&B. I love my country. I love my blues. I love, you know, but it's different. This is free form. It's not a style. The dance is not a style. The music is it's just a love, and you just move. You move to what you want to move to, right? And have at it and enjoy. And that's what it is. And for that, I thank you all. And thanking Nicole for opening up to, you know, to more a wider audience, you know? Wider. So just in case anybody's misconstruing that. So, yes.
And it's my pleasure. We got to keep these conversations going, right? Mm-hmm. Because there are so many dancers that are coming up behind us mm-hmm. that need these conversations mm-hmm. to continue. And I love what you've shared there, Augustus, because it allows us to really think about what the community means and also what it means to push the culture forward mm-hmm. as well. And I'd love to go to you now, Raul, to talk about that, because how do we do that? As with just a few minutes left in the show, if you can share what your thoughts are on how we do that. And of course, I want to hear especially from, you know, again, as Raul calls you, the OGs, your thoughts before we close on how we push the culture forward. How do we do that? So Raul, if we can start with you, what are your thoughts?
Well, the biggest disconnect between us trying to push the culture forward musically and dance, what had happened was when dance had became so competitive, and this is me, I grew up in a competitive environment and I traveled the world battling. And the one thing I noticed the most was every time a competition would last up to 12 hours. So you'd be tired throughout the day. So nobody would stay for the after party, which is the richest, because you have the DJs that are flown in, you have that music that can move you throughout till 6 a.m. So a lot of people were already tired because they were giving so much energy into the battle that when it came down to the clubbing, people would go home because they want to be prepared for the next day. And you would never get your results the same day. You would get it the next day. So you had to show up. But I was the type of person that stayed. And that's when I started understanding that dance is universal. And I started learning how to speak to different bodies. So I said, yo, why am I not doing that in Toronto? So when I did that in Toronto, it made me stop and I stopped training and I just started dancing, and that's what elevated. So I think that new generation just needs to take a sit and just watch and learn from our elders, because that's truly the people that are teaching us. They're giving us a chance to speak with them. And I learned that from another OG named Frank Boogie, because I do popping as well. And he said one thing that was the most powerful thing to me. we kept dancing together for so many years and we never spoke a word. We always just went off after we shared. And then the one day he's like, I just want you guys to speak to me. And the moment we spoke to him is when we earned our respect. So it wasn't about dance. It was us as people and we're sharing the art form together. So it was the togetherness that I find is missing today because people are putting respect in the forefront versus the togetherness, the love, the family, the environment that person there is almost like your uncle. You look at them in the club and you learn from your elders. Why not take it back? Go to the club, go learn, watch your elders, dance with your elders. You don't have to be in a circle to earn respect because I know even now respect is currency. But to me, wealth is in the elders because that lives forever and that money will never, money as a reference will never, you know, and it's endless because it's endless love. And that's the people I look up to. So follow that same journey, y'all.
Come on now. So good. Wealth is in the elders. Beautifully said, Raul. I love that. What are your thoughts on that, Bridget, as we go to you? Any thoughts on how we continue to push the culture forward?
Just, you know, getting the word out and not being shy and just communicating with us because we're so open. Honestly, we have just as much fun on the dance floor as the young kids do. And, you know, that whole battle thing, the only reason why I'm not, I love watching it. I love watching the battles, but I'm not right into it is because I, you know, with dance, it's not like I can't dance on cue. When someone says, okay, now, it has to really just, the music will have to move me because I can't dance to every song, you know, not every song, every house song I like either, right? But house music is universal and we all can learn from each other. So all the power to the old and the young. Yes.
So keep asking those questions. Go to the elders, right? Keep making that conversation happen. What are your thoughts, Augustus, as we're about to close on, and if you can add on to what you shared as well about pushing the culture forward. What are your thoughts?
With house music or music in general, but with house, you know, with music and all music in general, but with house music, when you step into that club, nobody cares of how you look like, who you look like, whatever. Color of your skin, your orientation, nobody gives a rat's backside about that, right? It's just about the music and love, right? And it's a place where you can escape and just be in the moment. Because most of us are not. The only people who are in the moment, I find, are children, actually. They're not worried about the future. They're not worried about the bill. Well, they don't have to pay the bills. But, you know, and we can learn a lot from the inner child within us. But music can also do that, too. All genres of music, but house music is one of those free things where it can really not make you think of anything, and every human being in there is accepted. That's what I want to add.
Love it. Love it. Well, we're about to close, but before we do, we've got to know what's coming up with all of you. So, Raul, what have you got coming up next? What is happening with you right now? And of course, if you can remind our listeners where to find you as well.
Basically, for me, I'm as underground as it gets. I stopped teaching in studios full time, so I'm sticking to the club. So you got to come find me in the club. That's the only way. Let's go.
Let's go. Thank you, Raul. And you, Bridget, where can individuals learn more about you? And also, if you can tell us perhaps maybe what you're up to right now as well.
Well, before COVID, I was involved in promoting house music, soulful house, Afro house music parties, different sorts of parties all over Toronto, just in Toronto. So because, you know, the COVID situation, the club situation, there's no more promoting right now for the clubs, but we'll see what the future holds. In the meantime, I will be at probably one of Raul's underground house classes and just got to try and keep it alive. But honestly, like I said earlier, I thoroughly enjoyed even outdoor house events. And I think this summer, that's where it's sort of at. Small, you know, little outdoor gatherings with a nice speaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where we can connect, but stay safe as well, right?
It's about staying safe right now, Nicole. Eventually, yeah, well, you know, there's always a party. We'll get back in the clubs on that nice, shiny dance floor. But right now, we just got to keep it underground. And I'm also roller skating a lot. I got to make fun. I got to make this summer fun. I'm trying to roller skate even to house music, you know, and finding little pop-up, little outdoor arenas with nice rings. It's really cool.
Okay, well, we love it. Make sure we get that invitation to go roller skating with you.
Yes.
So we're going to see Raul underground. We're going to see you on the roller skating rink. Augustus, talk to us. What have you got going on right now so that the audience can hear more about what's happening with Augustus?
Yeah. Thank you. So working on an EP, so with my own original material that I've written and produced. Last year, I was fortunate enough last minute to enter a thing called GovFest. So organized by the Ontario government, where musicians would go and just and battle. Literally, it'd be like Rocket of Bands. And it would be at all these well-known established clubs. So I was able to perform last year for a 15-minute set. And it went well. And it was great because it was three of my original songs and people were like, oh, wow. So, and I've been invited for this year, November, to perform a 30-minute set. So looking forward to that. But COVID or non-COVID, either way, I made a promise to myself that I will get my stuff all ready for November to release some of my original music that I've written and produced. Yes, there'll be some house music involved in it as well, but it'll be a genre of actually of everything. Pop oriented, but from actually to R&B to jazz and to country, actually, as well as, of course, as I said, house music. So that's what I've been working on. I think people will like it. I hope people will. And you'll get to see some of my dancing involved because, you know, with my background of dance, and I get to add that. So I will. I'll definitely getting on social media eventually. So very soon. So I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully I can reach out to all three of you to say, hey, look, this is what I'm up to. And, you know, hopefully we can work together. And
I'm ready, Augustus. I'm putting on my dance shoes right now. Yeah. I'm ready. you just say the word. I'm ready. Well, I want to thank you, all of you, for joining me on the show this morning. You are amazing and so brilliant. It's so wonderful to continue to have these conversations. Let's consider this to be part one. We got to have all of you back.
Let's go.
So that we can continue the conversation. Thank you again to you, Raul, for bringing all of us together, for ensuring that these were the names that you wanted to be involved in this conversation this morning. Thank you to you, Raul. Raul Wilk has been in the house with us this morning.
Yay!
Yeah! Bridget Deer has been in the house. Thank you, Bridget. To you. And Augustus, thank you for joining us on Turnout Radio. It's been such a pleasure to have all of you with me this
morning.
Thank
you, Nicole.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
And thank you, Raul, for organizing this.
Bless your hearts.
Hey, we love it. We love it. Thanks for the love, all of you. And for those of you who are listening this morning, stay tuned. Stay locked in right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back. But first, Rakote by Sabine Blazin. And then we've got the gadget segment coming up next, right after this on CIUT 89.5 FM.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Dance artists use a huge array of interesting, useful, and sometimes bizarre gadgets to get their job done. Each week, we highlight a new tool, some kind of gizmo that attracts our curiosity.
Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Hamilton, back for our gadget segment. You know, folks, this is one of my favorite parts of the show. Today, we're going to be talking about a weekly Instagram live series called True to Form. Now, joining me to discuss is Miha Matevzik, and Charlene Dinger, professional dancers, choreographers, instructors, and adjudicators. Now, they are the founders of Misha Entertainment, and collectively, they have worked in film, TV, live stage, having performed on the Brit Awards, MMVAs, Junos, and various other productions. They have also performed with artists such as Rihanna, Mariah Carey, and Florence and the Machine. I mean, come on, these two are just outstanding, and I'm so glad to have them joining me here on Turnout Radio to talk about the weekly Instagram series that they have put together called True to Form. Welcome to the show, Miha, Charlene. So good to have you on Turnout Radio.
Hi.
Thank you. Nicole, thank you for having us.
It's so good to have you on the show because let's talk. You know, there are so many great gadgets that dancers want to be able to utilize from, you know, the latest workout gear to certain books, etc. Isn't it an amazing thing when we can use Instagram as one of our gadgets? So talk to us about this True to Form weekly Instagram live series that the both of you have put together. Miha, can you share a bit?
Yeah, so our useful gadget, since it's a tool, is it's knowledge, right? For us with this series that we're trying to share. We think that every dancer needs to have right now is our series True to Form that we have on our Instagram platform. It's an educational series that we launched in July during the COVID-19 quarantine. And we were really truly like called into action by the Black Lives Matter movement. And we just wanted to provide a platform and space for our Black colleagues and our colleagues of color to share their voices, knowledge, and experience with the dance community regarding the history and cultural roots of certain dance forms. So that's why we created True to Form.
Now, I've had an opportunity to sit in and listen to a couple of them, and you are bringing in artists who can speak to historical references, who can speak to the necessary archived information, some of them not even archived. And some of our history has been so lost, but you're bringing in brilliant individuals who can speak to that. Talk to us, Charlene, about who some of those individuals are that have been on the show, and also who we can expect as well to be on the series.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been so blessed, really, and we're so grateful to all of our guests that have joined us so far. So throughout July, we hosted our first four episodes of True to Form, and we had the opportunity to speak with the Dora Award winner, Sean Byfield. I know that you have a very close relationship with him, and that was a wonderful conversation about tap. He shared so much knowledge with us and is just such a wonderful spirit. So that was a lovely, lovely interview. And we also brought on Hala Jazz Artistic Director, Natasha Powell. She spoke about jazz and again, just shared such a vast knowledge of the history and the evolution. And again, she is an artist that is really trying to stay true to and really honoring those cultural roots of vernacular jazz. And she has studied this form of dance for a very long time. So she shared so much with us. We also spoke to Daniel Keith Morrison. He is a hip hop educator. He is a Moon Runners crew member. You know, he has traveled internationally and has battled in a number of competitions. And we had a very colorful conversation with him about hip hop and the different generations, how hip hop has evolved, and you know, trying to again continue to educate the younger generations about what the true historical roots are of that form. And our latest episode, we spoke with a dear friend of ours, Chris Hale. He lives in New Jersey. He is a ABT certified teacher. He is working on his life coaching business right now. So he just had, again, an abundance of knowledge to share about the ballet and contemporary world. And our next guest that we're bringing on for the first week of August is Travis Knights, who I'm sure you have had on the show before and is, again, just such a wonderful person that we're really looking forward to talking to about TAP. And he does so much within the community. You know, he's toured with TAP Dogs. He's performed internationally. He works in film and television, and he also hosts his own podcast. So we're really, really looking forward to speaking with him. And we have a number of other guests lined up. And, you know, we just feel like it's a really important conversation to be having with these people that have been studying and have really been educating themselves on these forms.
I love everything that you both just said.
I do. These are wonderful artists. And yes, many of them have been on Turnout Radio. And so we know, you know, the truth of what they contribute to this beautiful industry of ours. So I'm so glad to know that they're also going to be sharing their amazing voices on True to Form as well. Now, for individuals that are wanting to be able to sit down, relax, sit back, and take in everything having to do with True to Form, Miha, where can they go?
So if anybody would like to listen to our past episodes that we had and also upcoming, they can visit us at our Instagram account. So it's at Misha Entertainment, all one word. And you can find all the previous episodes there. And we'll also post anything that's upcoming into our programming. And we also share resources after we talk to our guests of what they shared with us during our discussions. So links to different books or documentaries or images, whatever was referenced. So there's lots and lots of stuff there to, you know, even come after once you finish listening or watching in that case, and then just educate yourself a little bit more. Yeah, but as I said before, you can visit us at Misha Entertainment on Instagram.
Love it. And for those who are just getting an opportunity to learn more about the both of you, Misha, M-I-C-H-A, right, just for our listeners so that you know where to find you both. I want to thank you so much for joining me today for our gadget segment. Very excited to continue to keep tuning in for the series True to Form, your weekly Instagram live series. We'll continue to keep following you and remind our followers as well and our listeners to stay in touch with you both, because the series will run, but we also want them to know the stop and start dates, right? And you're very good at keeping us updated on your social media platforms as well.
We'll definitely try. But as we said, you know, we really want to keep this conversation going. We want to keep the knowledge flowing, and we just want to continue to learn more. So we're hoping to keep bringing on these wonderful artists.
Well, thank you both again for what you're contributing to this industry and what you've always contributed. It's so wonderful to have you both here in the Turnout Radio chair. And we look forward to having you both back again.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us.
My pleasure. Great pleasure to have you both with me today. And that was Miha Matevzik and Charlene Dinger here on Turnout Radio, talking to us about True to Form, their weekly Instagram live series. Don't miss it, folks. Got to make sure that you get out, take a listen, and take a watch. That's it for today's show. Thanks to my guests, Raoul Wilk, Bridget Deer, and Augustus. And of course, Miha Matevzik and Charlene Dinger for joining me for today's gadget segment. Tune in next week for more of Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance.